And we welcome you to another edition of Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop, the official supermarket of the New York Giants, here on the MSG Network. I'm Bob Papa. I got my Hall of Famer, Harry Carson, Super Bowl champions Carl Banks and Howard Cross. We're going to tell you the top 10 things you need to know about the Giants and the Los Angeles Chargers. Hopefully I won't slip during the show and say San Diego, Los Angeles Chargers. Let's take a look at the menu board. Here's what's coming up. We'll talk with Giants head coach Ben McAdoo. Carl Banks will go to the coach's tape and dial in the strategy for this game. Paul Dottino heads to the Giants locker room to talk with linebacker Devon Kennard. We'll be joined by one of the new Giants, tight end Red Ellison, who had a touchdown last week in Tampa. And we'll look at Manning and Rivers forever linked. But as always, it is time to put item number one up on the board. We call this No Huddle. 25 seconds go on the clock. And as always, we defer to our Hall of Famer, Harry Carson. Harry, don't ask you.
Don't ask me. You know, I get around New York and I'm very well recognized by a lot of fans. And the number one thing that they ask me is, what's going on with this Giants team? And I say, don't ask me. I only see what I see. I see what you're seeing. But they, to me, are not fundamentally sound. They're not making tackles. They're not catching the ball as they should. So don't ask me. I don't know. I only know what I see. And they're not very good right now.
Well, you're in the Hall of Fame, so you get to run over. And you did. But that's okay. 25 seconds for Carl. Be in a rush.
Yeah, they've got to be in a rush. They've got to be in a rush to make better tackles, to get this team on track, circle the wagons. But they've also got to be in a rush on offense because this is a defense that will give you opportunities.
Yeah, the Giants and...
Seems like that wagon has been circled for a couple of weeks now.
No, they haven't circled the wagon yet. There's too many things getting in between, so...
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk more about that in a second. But, Howard, 25 seconds on the clock for you. To be or not to be, that is the question.
Hey, is it to be a team that's going to make those catches in critical moments and non-critical moments? Believe it or not, third down, second down, catch the ball. To be the team that's going to get the block. To be the team that's going to make a tackle and make a stop in third down. To be the team that's going to actually have a great special teams or at least an adequate special teams. To be one of those teams, not to be 0-5.
Yeah, and it's really interesting because these two teams' weaknesses mirror each other. Mm-hmm. Neither team runs the ball well, near the bottom of the NFL in rushing yards per game, and neither team stops the run very well. The Giants are 28th in run defense. The Chargers are 31st. So that brings us to item number two, not numb. Giants head coach Ben McAdoo said one of the challenges that he faces is to make sure his team doesn't go numb with this four-game losing streak. Talked about circling the wagons. You guys have talked about that. What does McAdoo need to do to make sure he keeps his team's attention?
All you got to do is point to what has transpired. You
know,
defense has given up yards in the fourth quarter, allowing opposing teams to go down the field and kick field goals at the end of the game. I mean, this team could very easily be 2-2. The New England Patriots are 2-2 right now, so I mean, they would be on track. But you got to make the plays that matter at a crucial junction of the game, and they're not doing it. So everybody has to just go out and play extra hard, one play at a time. That's it.
And, you know, he's spoken like a true captain, too, because is it the plays that matter. That's when that's what the coach means. You can't be numb. You got to know that second and two that you dropped, it mattered. Mm-hmm. You know, the missed tackle, that all you had to do is close down the line of scrimmage, it doesn't go for 40 yards. It matters. It matters to you. It matters to your teammates. That's what it means when not to be numb, that you got to feel that every play is important, every single technique, everything you do is important. It matters to everybody.
And Carl, I'm going to use like more of a golf thing. Think about this. You can't go out and shoot a 75, a 78, or even 80 when you go to the first tee. You got to go to the first tee. You got to hit the drive. Then you got to hit your approach shot. You play it one shot at a time, one hole at a time. And that's what the game has got to be for these guys. They got to figure out how to go into the game and not start thinking about, okay, we can't be 0-5, but okay, the first play of the game, what's my assignment? Let me do my job on that play. Once that play is over, you get up, you get back to the line of scrimmage, you think of the situation, oh, a 2nd and 5. What do I do on this play? You got to keep doing it one play at a time.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a weird expression. I know it's a cliche, but if you look too far ahead.
Yeah. And the thing about it is, you know, fans don't get it. They need a pep talk and somebody. No, you got enough talent in the room. Just go out and do your job and watch how contagious it becomes.
Quite frankly, I think they should feel the pain of what they're dealing with right now. Because if they feel it, they'll be anxious to get out on the field on Sunday to just numb that pain at that time by playing the game. So, you know, feel the pain. And
just one more thing. If I could have Harry Carson for one moment on this team, it would be the first time the Boo Birds come out during the game and Howard gets the team together. Listen, do you hear what they're doing? Do you hear what they're doing? Listen, that's because we suck. That's what Harry would say. That's what he had said to us before. Listen, you guys hear that? They're booing you. They're booing us because we suck and we're not doing our jobs.
Even back in the day when we had the hot box, we'd go sit down together and talk about it. Back in the day, I can say back in the day, we had the hot box. We'd sit around and talk about what we were going through when we were having a losing moment. And I would say to him, like, I don't know what you're going through, but I'm checking the tape. And I'm grading out 100% every week. And the reason why I'm grading out 100% because when they go to the draft, they look to replace somebody. Won't be me. And that's how I looked at it.
Somebody in that locker room probably needs to throw a garbage can or two.
If you want them to feel it, then they have to have that Harry moment, that Harry Carson captain in-game moment where they're booing and he brings everybody up and says, listen, they're talking about us. Where's our pride?
Yeah. Not the meetings.
Well, because you left a mark on that.
Not the meetings. It's in the game.
And the thing is that he was drafted in 84, so basically you guys were a good team when you had to deal with that as opposed to some of the
No. When I had to deal with that back in the 70s.
That was different.
Yeah, sucked, really.
Right, but I'm talking about he experienced it, so you even had to do it with good teams.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
All right, so... there's a lot to cover. Listen to that.
Listen to that. You guys hear this?
Oh, man. Hey, let's take a look at all the Giants programming coming up for you. Giants First and 10 presented by Stop and Shop. 3 airings on Friday. We'll have 3 more for you on Saturday. Giants Access Blue on My9 at 11 o'clock on Saturday night presented by Toyota. Then Sunday, Giants Chronicles 10 a.m. presented by New York Presbyterian. We'll focus in on Ahmad Bradshaw. You do not want to miss that. Giants First and 10 airs again at 10:30 on MSG, getting you set for the Giants and Chargers. Then after the game, Giants postgame live presented by Mercedes-Benz. We are just getting started here on the program. When we come back, the head coach of the Giants, Ben McAdoo, joins us here on Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop here on the MSG Networks. Welcome back to Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop. Sunday, Giants and Chargers, MetLife Stadium. Time to put item number 3 up on the board. As always, we're joined by the head coach of the New York Giants, Ben McAdoo. And coach, over the last 2 weeks, you guys are averaging 327 yards a game passing, which leads the National Football League. What are some of the positives you take into this week's game?
Well, it always starts with pass protection up front. The line's been doing a better job keeping Eli clean, give him a nice deep and wide pocket to throw in. The receivers are doing an excellent job in tight ends and being very precise in what they're doing on the perimeter, and Eli's been on time and on location with the ball.
Coach, you got some pretty good production late in the game in the run when you needed to get something. Is that something that'll help balance out the first quarter, maybe discrepancies in how you're scoring or your attack?
Well, what you saw late in the ball game was we had more attempts at the plate and had a chance to wear on the defense a little bit. There were a lighter defense there. They were fast, but we had a chance to have our big guys come downhill at the end of the ball game, and we thought we were going to have a chance to wear them out there in the end. We came up just short, but we did make some progress.
Coach, two teams that meet on Sunday, the Giants and Chargers, kind of mirror each other in the situations of, you know, being able to run the ball, stop the run. Both teams have struggled in those areas, and you both have lost some really close ball games. When you look at the matchup, what are some of the things that jump out at you that they do really well?
Well, they have a lot of size on their perimeter, on the offensive side of the ball. They do a good job. You know, Rivers does an excellent job getting the ball to those guys. They all seem like they're 6'5" over there playing, whether they're tight ends or receivers. Very talented there. They have some quick backs they can get the ball to out of the backfield as well. And also on the other side of the ball, you see their defensive ends. The defensive ends, Ingram and Bosa, are very talented players. They're bookends for the defense. Their cover three system really feeds off of them getting pressure on the quarterback. And you see that throughout their game.
So, Coach, I saw you earlier this week. You said, don't blink, don't flinch. And there's a lot going on. Obviously, with 0-2, you invite a lot of criticism, that type of record. What has been the message? Circling the wagons with the guys, obviously the outside doesn't matter, but have you given the team that same message, don't blink, don't flinch?
Yeah, adversity introduces a man to himself. So we have talented men of integrity in the locker room. We say it all the time. We come up in close games just short the last 2 weeks on the last play of the ball game. That's tough. That hurts, and it's supposed to hurt. And, you know, my message to the guys was, you know, don't flinch. Set your jaw. Let's get to work. And the worst thing that can happen is you become numb to these losses. Make sure they still hurt. You still got to feel it. And, you know, stay emotional, stay into it, and pick each other up.
Are there little things that you can do during the week to kind of reinforce that?
Yeah, we talk about it each and every day. On Thursdays, I have an assistant coach speak to the team. Coach Johnson, our running back coach, spoke to the team this morning, had a very powerful message for him, and, you know, helped get them going. Today is a tough day of work for our guys. We have pads on. We're on the field for a long time, and he helped get us off to a nice start here Thursday.
Attention to detail in terms of tackling. It's not – you didn't graduate all seniors and brought back freshmen, so – the fundamentals are there because you were tops in the league stopping the run. Is it just the little things that these guys have to focus on?
Yeah, we spent a lot of time talking about tackling over the last couple of weeks, and we really worked on it. We spent a lot of time doing gator roll tackling. Each guy got a handful of reps. We split the groups up so we could get a high number of reps in a short amount of time where we had to go to the ground and roll up. And then we had our thud periods today, offense versus defense, and at the defense, making sure they're coming up, putting their pads on the backs, and making sure they're hitting on the rise and wrapping up and then releasing the back. Sometimes we went to the ground, but we wanted to make sure that, make sure that we're getting the practice. And when you're emphasizing something, you got to emphasize it. It can't just be lip service. You have to go out. You have to do it. You have to work it. You have to walk it. It's not just talking it. It's walking it.
Coach, best of luck on Sunday.
All right, thank you.
That's New York Giants head coach Ben McAdoo. So lots to get into here between the Giants and Chargers. Let's go to the coaches' tape. We put item number 4 up on the board. Here's Carl Banks with strategy.
The key to the Giants' success will rely largely upon their ability to protect the passer from two of the most dangerous pass rushers in the NFL, number 54, Melvin Ingram, and number 99, Bosa. They normally play bookends, but when they put them together, it's to isolate and prevent teams from giving help. Here you see at the top of the screen, 54 and 99 on the same side. That's so Melvin Ingram can isolate the guard here, and he just makes one quick move, and he's on the quarterback. Now, think of this, folks. This ball comes out relatively fast, and Melvin Ingram is right there in the quarterback's face almost before he could get the ball off. So you've got to protect against those guys, but you got to know where they are, because if they're together, they're going to isolate someone, and if they're apart, they're going to still be as dangerous.
That was Strategy with Carl Banks, brought to you by PSE&G. PSE&G, we make things work for you. Still to come on the program, Paul Dottino inside the Giants locker room. He'll talk with Devon Kennard. Let's take a look at Giants First and 10 programming for you throughout the course of the weekend. Giants First and 10 will air 3 times on Friday, 3 more airings on Saturday, and a final time on Sunday at 10:30 a.m. Eastern on MSG. Again, Paul Dottino inside the Giants locker room and much more as we continue with Giants First and 10 presented by Stop and Shop here on the MSG Networks. Welcome back to Giants First and 10 presented by Stop and Shop, getting you set for the Giants and Chargers on Sunday, 1 o'clock kick at MetLife Stadium. Time to put item number 5 up on the board as we take you inside the locker room with Paul Dottino. And Paul had a chance to visit with Giants linebacker Devon Kennard.
Devon, one of the things that Coach McAdoo said the other day, too many missed tackles with this defense. I'm sure you guys were aware of it. How do you fix it a month into the season? I mean, it's not like you guys can go out and practice a whole lot of tackling in practice.
I think you got to be intentional with everything, you know, we're doing. So when we're going out there, and even if it's not a tackle practice, you know, mentally every time you're coming up to an offensive guy, you have to be mentally there to where it's like, you know, you're faking it almost to where when the game comes, it's it's, you know, instinctive and it's just happening. And you know, we're there. We just got to finish tackles and wrap up and you know, quit block tackling a lot of times where we're hitting but not wrapping. And we do those things and we'll be fine.
Now, in the last couple of games, we've seen the offense come back and get a lead in the fourth quarter and then have it slip away. Now, you guys as a defense last year did not let that happen. It was lockdown time. Mm-hmm. Is it a confidence thing also when you get to crunch time now that's got to be fixed?
I don't necessarily think it's a confidence. It's just execution. You know, we have the men in the room and we have enough talent and I feel like everyone's confident, but we have to execute in those critical times and we're more than capable. And, you know, I think it's our responsibility. You know, we should be 2-2 right now, but defensively we let some things happen and that record's on us.
All right. Now, some people look at players like they're video games and that you don't have emotions, you don't have a heart, but let's face it, you do. And these last two games had to be crushing. Emotionally, how do you turn the page? You have to be like a baseball relief pitcher?
You just have to mentally, like, we got to go out and get the next one. So you got to put everything into this next game. There's nothing else that matters. We're 0-4 right now. We got to get our first win, and you got to throw everything you have at it.
All right, well, Phillip Rivers is a pretty dangerous quarterback. You know that. And they've got some running backs who will come out of the backfield and catch passes, and they'll also throw it deep. What's the biggest challenge the Chargers offense brings?
You know, they got explosive players all over the field. But, you know, it seems like it's like that almost every week nowadays. So we got to focus on us. You know, if we play our best ball, if we're at our best, I'll put us against any offense in the league. And, you know, that's just how I feel personally. But we got to be at our best. So, I think it comes back to us getting on our fundamentals, knowing the keys that we need to know of going into this game. But, you know, it's about us, the men in the room.
And then I think the final thing about Rivers is that sometimes he can get frustrated. And you do see his emotions kind of bubble over. Sometimes that works against him. Can you guys do that by taking away maybe the run early?
Oh, definitely. You know, you make him one-dimensional in any quarterback, you know, and then you get some pressure on him and make him feel uncomfortable, and it gives you an opportunity to win. So that's always the focus.
Paul Dottino inside the Giants locker room with Devon Kennard. And now Paul joins us here on Stat. And Paul, you know, good stuff there from Devon Kennard. They keep talking about fixing this tackling, but it continues to be a problem.
Yeah, you know, Bob, he talks about having confidence and that they still have it, but, you know, Carl, they can't help but see what's happened these last couple of weeks as they've given up those leads. To me, it's a chicken and the egg thing. How can you really have confidence until you actually do it and turn the page?
Well, because they've been doing it. It's not like this is a new group that everybody graduated last year and this is a freshman class. They have a great deal of returning players that were part of a pretty good defense, so they didn't forget how to tackle. They're just lazy in their techniques and their fundamentals, and that's where he talks about just going out and doing it, because they have to be deliberate in everything they do.
I think, Carl, back in the day, I remember when you guys used to do the rally thing where everybody had to be in a camera shot.
Yeah.
Where if a guy had the ball, there had to be like 10 to 11 guys in the camera shot. I remember in college, I remember in high school.
Nobody,
I remember,
you
want to be in the shot. If you're in the shot, there's not going to be the extra 5 yards or the extra 4 yards. You got to rally to the ball if more people are around it.
Yeah.
There won't be block tackles. There'll be group tackles.
Yeah, you have a lot of guys around it. So if a guy doesn't use proper technique, there's going to be a lot of guys in pursuit.
You know, one thing that can help get the defense off the field, fellas, is getting some more takeaways and turnovers. They only have two fumble recoveries and no picks so far this year. That's got to change.
Well, again, that's going to change possibly this week, because Phillip Rivers is the one thing that he isn't, is mobile. So what they've had for the last few weeks is a quarterback who can get around and get them an extra 3 or 4 yards, get an extra first down, because they can break away from the line of scrimmage when things break down. Phillip Rivers is not running anywhere. So if he puts the ball near, there's an opportunity to get it.
And you had a defensive lineman that had one go right through his hands in the game. And that's, you know, it's not an excuse. Like, they put you in this position. I'm sure they practice it. Got to make that play. Those are the little things that change a game.
Paul, good stuff as always.
Good to see you.
Paul Dottino inside the Giants locker room. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back here on the program, we're going to check the bulletin board. Get your push pins out. Madeline Burke will join us. This segment of the program has been brought to you by Ticketmaster and the NFL Ticket Exchange, the only official ticket exchange of the NFL. Welcome back to Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop here on the MSG Networks. On Sunday at 1, it's the Giants and the Los Angeles Chargers. Still to come here on the program as we continue our 10-year anniversary celebration of the Super Bowl 42 champion Giants. We'll look at a defining play from a rookie in that game in Ahmad Bradshaw. We'll be joined on the program by Giants tight end Rhett Ellison. In our Extra Point segment, Paul Schwartz of the New York Post will join us, and we'll look at Manning and Rivers forever linked. But now it's time to put item number 6 on the board. We call this bulletin board, and we welcome in Madeline Burke. Madeline, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks, Bob. And, you know, not a lot of people anticipated an 0-4 start for this Giants team, including Lawrence Taylor, Harry, your teammate. He had a quote earlier this week. He said, you know, you would have thought after the draft and after all of the acquisitions they had that, wow, the Giants are pretty stacked. It's dumbfounding and it's confusing. You say to yourself, what the heck happened? I mean, you know, you guys have had similar takes as well.
I know. You know, everything on paper, everybody looks good, you know, prior to the season. But once you get on the field, everything changes. Nobody expected the Jets to be 2-2 right now, but they are. Everybody thought the Giants were a playoff caliber team. I think they still have really good personnel. They just have to put it together on the football field. And it just goes to show you never really know what's going to happen in the game of football. Anybody can beat anybody on any given Sunday. That's a movie that Lawrence starred in a long time ago.
Oh, there we go. I see what you did there. Full circle.
I agree. I think it really comes down to how the players play. You know, you can assemble a team and some people think it's great. Some people think it's horrible. But if you have the right plan, you just have to go out and execute.
It's why they play the games. And Bob, something you mentioned earlier that we'll be talking about later in the show is, you know, the Eli Manning, Philip Rivers link. But Tom Krasovich of the San Diego Union Tribune said Eli Manning is the quarterback whose dad and agent steered him away from the Chargers ahead of the 2004 draft. Dean Spanos is the owner who yanked his club out of San Diego this year. He's calling this the Villain Bowl, where Eli's Giants and Team Spanos will meet in Jersey. So for San Diego, this is the Villain Bowl. But, you know, Eli hasn't won a regular season game against the Chargers, but he's got 2 Super Bowl rings. Do you think that Chargers fans are still a little salty about that?
Well, Chargers fans, they have a really good quarterback. And I think what they should really focus on is, like any other fan base, getting him the help he needs so that he could have the same success. But listen, you have what you have. It's not like they got chopped liver in Philip Rivers. He's pretty darn good.
Yeah, and those Charger fans need to get over it and just move forward because it is what it is. Eli, fortunately, has 2 Super Bowl trophies and 2 Super Bowl rings, MVP. Even though he has never beaten the Chargers, they're no longer in San Diego. Perhaps he'll do better with the Los Angeles Chargers.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have more on this in a little bit later on. But, I mean, the bottom line here with this whole thing is that Eli and his family were right. The Chargers have been an unstable organization. They fired Marty Schottenheimer after they went 14-2. They let LaDainian Tomlinson, Darren Sproles, Vincent Jackson, players walk out the door. Philip Rivers is good enough to have won a Super Bowl. They haven't won a Super Bowl because of Philip Rivers. They haven't not won one. It's because they have nickel and dime players, let good players leave the building. And Eli Manning went to a stable situation and an organization that is patient and everything else. So guess what, San Diego fans? The Mannings were right. We're going to have more on that in just a bit. But now it's time to put item number 7 up on the board. Eli's first Super Bowl win came 10 years ago. And one of the helping hands in that great Super Bowl run was the play of a rookie running back out of Marshall, Ahmad Bradshaw, who took center stage on a snowy day in Buffalo.
You know, we came to the huddle, and I even told all the boys, I said, I'm scoring this if y'all block it right.
He comes in, you block this one up, I'm taking it to the house. You talk about the confidence of a young player coming into a game in a moment like that, wanting the football.
they called a power play. And, you know, my favorite play is a power. I just remember just go, you know, just telling myself to just go.
Hand off Bradshaw, up the middle, finds a crease, up to the 20, 25, 30. It's a foot race.
When he broke through that line and you saw this little guy coming out bow-legged and he had a head full of steam, missing part of his NY emblem on his helmet. And it's like he's running 100 miles per hour. Everybody else is in slow motion.
Bradshaw to the 40, to midfield. No one's going to get the rookie Adam Marshall.
That was probably one of the coolest run plays, seeing him just pulling away from everybody as he ran up the sideline.
20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Ahmad Bradshaw. 88 yards for the rookie.
And he said, that's it. We're going to the playoffs. That's it. That's the game clincher right there. We're good.
And that's when I literally looked and said, the boy is now a man.
You know, and that was kind of the legend of Bradshaw was born.
And the rookie may have run the Giants into the postseason.
A great moment as part of that 2007 New York Football Giants Super Bowl championship season. And, of course, we will continue to celebrate the 10-year anniversary throughout the course of this season. One of the guys who's new to the Giants program is tight end Red Ellison. He had his first touchdown with the Giants last week in Tampa. He'll join us as we continue with Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop, the official supermarket of the New York Giants here on the MSG Networks.
Third and goal just inside the two. No receivers in the game. Ellison out to the left. Manning's going to throw. Rolls right, throws to the end zone, touchdown Giants. Brett Ellison just came crossing underneath, and the Giants are back in front.
Let's go, baby.
And we welcome you back to Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop. Brett Ellison with the touchdown last week in the game in Tampa. Item number 8 goes up on the board, and in our player spotlight, Brett Ellison joins us here on the program. And how did it feel good to break the seal and get that first touchdown as a Giant?
Yeah, it felt good. It would have been, you know, felt better with a win, but it's all good.
What's the adjustment period been like for you, learning a new system, getting to know a new quarterback and new environment?
It's definitely been an adjustment, a very different system than what I'm coming from, but everyone's been great. Eli's been great with everything. Coaches have been awesome. They really understand the learning process and have helped me with that.
In the process of learning this offense, have you been able to still maintain your physicality? I see some blocks, you're in there pretty good, and other times it's just like, you know, it doesn't seem like you're passive, but it's just a different style of play than what I'm accustomed to seeing you just go up in there and just bang everybody.
Yeah, I mean, you get that with tempo stuff, you know, when you're kind of on the no huddle.
Yeah.
You know, you're just going fast. And it doesn't mean you can't be physical. It's just a different feel as opposed to just coming out of the huddle, lining up, you know, 2-3 tight end sets and then just, you know, running gap schemes like that. But, I mean, the physicality, that's the point of emphasis. It doesn't matter what it is. We have to be as physical as we can. Just sometimes you're not getting the right read all the time or the reads are happening faster.
Sure.
So you're not, you don't get to play as fast or as physical as you want sometimes, but you always want to be as physical as possible.
Now, you're the veteran in the tight end room. Everything is going on right now with the Giants. You know that you guys are trying to grab a win. Everything's happening. How do you keep the guys focused and get their mind right for the following week?
Yeah, it's definitely difficult when you get in a streak like this. But we have Evan is a young guy that, I mean, from day one, he's showed up and he's worked hard. And he's a positive guy. You just keep the energy positive. You be an example. You know, you have routines. You make sure that, you know, they don't see any change in you and how you approach the game. Because, you know, young guys will look to older guys to see kind of how they're handling it. But you just keep the energy positive. You keep encouraging the guys and you just, you know, have that routine and always be there if they need you.
I like it.
Here's a question. I know both of you are going to answer the same way. Both physical blockers, catching that touchdown or watching Wayne Gallman just really get this offense energized? You can't have both.
Oh, you can't have both?
Can't have both. If you had to pick making those blocks and getting Wayne going or just your touchdown in the end zone, which one?
I'd say a physical pancake block is probably more is more satisfying than a touchdown, you know.
They got plenty of guys catch touchdowns, right?
Well, and that's it's also the coach, you know, the coach is the one that calls the play. He's the one deciding, you know, who's getting the ball a lot of the time. So when you can physically, especially if it's a guy like a DN where, you know, it's a mismatch to you, and you can out-physical him, that's definitely more satisfying than a touchdown.
I go with that, you know. I'm telling you, I used to love, like, the offensive linemen had a different mentality. When you run the ball, they're all excited.
Yeah.
You want to be in there with them. Like, I'm part of the big guys right now. I'm having a good time. Well, I was a big guy, so it doesn't really matter. Yeah. So yeah. Tell me, you get ready to go into this week. What are you guys going to do special, different? What are you thinking about, like, you want to run the ball against them. You want to play great offense against them. You hope that the defense can tackle against them. But they're having some of the same problems, same issues.
Yeah. I mean, first and foremost, their guys on the edges are probably their best guys. They have one of the best pass rushes we've seen all year. So it's handling that up front, first and foremost. But I think it's just getting back to the fundamentals, back to the basics of what we want to do. You know, just not trying to overcomplicate it, but just playing fast and playing physical. And that's kind of where we're at right now.
How far off are you guys from that? I know it's always the little things, right?
Yeah.
You can the big ones stick out a lot, but like here or there, there's a missed block or a guy falls down in the hole or something like that. How far away, as you look at it, as a team, how far away are you guys from just making just that one little thing and you're just off and running?
Yeah, it's like you said, it's just one little thing, and sometimes it's just one to two plays a game. That make the biggest difference. And as we've seen these last 2 weeks, almost all these games, the fourth quarter is where these games are coming down to. So you just have to limit as much mistakes as you can. But you have to think, you know, every play is that play that's going to win you the game. You know, you don't want to wait until the end, but it just comes down to one or two plays every week.
Rhett, we appreciate a couple minutes. Good luck on Sunday.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Rhett Ellison joining us here on the program. When we come back, Extra Point. Paul Schwartz of the New York Post will go one-on-one with Howard Cross. As we continue with Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop here on the MSG Network. And it's time for Stats Plus, brought to you by Cash for Life from the New York Lottery. You can win $1,000 a day for life. The number three. Since the start of 2016, the Chargers have lost 7 games by 3 points or less. 327. The New York Giants lead the NFL in passing yards per game over the past 2 weeks at 327 yards a game. 454. Through week 4, Eli Manning ranks first in the NFL in fourth quarter passing yards with 454 yards. Also leads the league with 116 total completions. And 657. Since 2000, the Giants have a winning percentage of 657 in the month of October, 44 wins against 23 losses. As we welcome you back to Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop here on the MSG Network, time to put item number 9 up on the board. We call this Extra Point, and we welcome into the cauldron Paul Schwartz of the New York Post. So, Paul, item number 1 up here for you is the script. And maybe the script for the Giants needs to change offensively.
All right, Howard, the script, rip it up. They have not scored in the first quarter. Their first drive in each of the four games, nothing. Rip up the script, get a new one.
Well, the script thing is kind of strange because what the script really does is for you to see what the other team's doing in those plays. If you don't execute, if someone drops a ball, that's not McAdoo. If someone misses the block, that's not McAdoo. Players make plays. Coaches are not the guys. They make the call. You have to execute. If you don't execute, it's not really your
fault. Execution is always important. It's the most important thing, but the script has to change as well. You can't have negative yards on 3 or 4 drives, period.
Okay, but let me ask you this. In the Philadelphia game, the first 2 drives of the game, they were driving, they're in plus territory, and then Beckham drops what should have been a 3rd down catch, and then they didn't block on a running play on a 3rd and short.
The Eagles game is the only game where they got a couple of first downs on their first drive. The thing is that at the start of these games, the offense sets an incredibly negative, depressing tone. In 3 of the 4 games it's happened, it's inexcusable.
So let me ask you something. Is there a magical formula you can make calls and these guys will actually make the plays?
No, but there's better formula. And he has to come up with a better formula.
I'm
not magic,
right. That's awesome. I've heard that for years as a player. I take offense to that. And the reason why I take offense to that, because I know players make plays. You can call whatever you want. I can make it work.
So, running back, we talked about the lack of a running game. The Giants have really struggled this year. You think that they have a solution on the roster?
Well, you know what I think they should do? Drastic times call for drastic action. Start Wayne Gallman. He's a rookie. He looks like the best running back on the team right now. Start Wayne Gallman. Get a spark.
Well, see, Gallman, I watched him play against Alabama in the two championship games. I always thought he was going to be a good running back. I think the thing with running backs is you have to be able to protect the most valuable player on the team, and that's Eli Manning. If he can do all the blitz pickups, if he can do all the things to protect Eli in the passing game, I know he can catch out of the backfield. I'm sure he can run the ball. But if you cannot protect a quarterback, that's all that matters.
He had an excellent blitz pickup in the game.
Yes, he did.
I say, put him out there. Let's go. Let's go. Wayne Gallman. It's Wayne Gallman time.
My next question to you is maybe keeping some things in-house. Odell Beckham Jr. kind of revealed a conversation that he had with Vernon Hargraves of the Tampa Bay Bucks last week.
Yeah, I don't know. Look, I don't want to get inside Odell's head because I think it's very crowded in there, okay? I don't know if there's room for me in there.
I think he's just talking out in general. I mean, he's just explaining things. I think in today's world, athletes are relevant because they're on Twitter, they're on Instagram, they're on Snapchat. They got all these things going on. When you say something out loud, you can't decide, okay, if he had told a reporter that, just specifically, oh, I spoke to so-and-so, and it goes out everywhere, then it's great. But if he just says it in that kind of context, doesn't really mean anything.
Well, he told a bunch of reporters
about
a conversation
anything.
He had with another player on the team. It doesn't make Ben McAdoo look good. Doesn't make the Giants look good. I don't think he was calling out his coach. It just doesn't make anybody look good. It's silly.
I think I think, again, that, you know, you're reading a little bit. And I'm not defending Odell in any meant. I think you're reading too much into it. If a team says, hey, look, we knew what you guys were running, and you say it out loud, then, hey, they knew what we were running.
All right, so speaking of that, is it time to simplify?
Well, you know what, Howard, I'm sure you've heard this all those years when you're playing. We have to simplify things. Well, simplify what? We're just going to line up and play? I understand he wants guys to play faster, but you can't just throw out everything.
I think the simplify means, you know, you want to be more basic in your formations and have a base of things. You can connect things from a simple standpoint. Everything's built on one format, and you grow out from there. If you start with the format and then try to shrink it down, it's hard. So you start from the bottom, you go out.
Here's what I would say. If simplify means if the guy's in front of you with the ball, tackle him, I'm all for simplifying. And if simplify means if the guy's in front of you, I have to block you, I block you, I'm all for simplifying.
I think that's an offensive standpoint. He's not talking about simplify from the defense standpoint. They still got to make plays.
I think they say he wanted to simplify everything, even on defense, too, because of all the big
plays.
You
got to make plays.
Your tackling point was good. Paul, thanks for joining us here on Extra Point. Good stuff from Paul Schwartz. Still to come on the program, Eli Manning and Phillip Rivers forever linked. We'll tell you that story when we come back. You're watching Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop, the official supermarket of the New York Football Giants, here on the MSG Network.
I get around New York, and I'm very well recognized by a lot of fans. And the number one thing that they ask me is, what's going on with this Giants team? And I say, don't ask me.
They let LaDainian Tomlinson, Darren Sproles, Vincent Jackson, players walk out the door.
If you had to pick making those blocks and getting Wayne going or just your touchdown in the end zone, which one?
I'd say a physical pancake block is probably more is more satisfying than a touchdown, you know?
If he gets hit, I'm calling you after the game.
Yeah. You're emphasizing something, you got to emphasize it. It can't just be lip service. You have to go out, you have to do it, you have to work it, you have to walk it. It's not just talking it, it's walking it.
That was the Geico Show recap. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. As we welcome you back to Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop, time to put item number 10 up on the board. As the Giants take on the Chargers on Sunday at MetLife Stadium, the two starting quarterbacks will forever be linked. Eli Manning was drafted first overall by the San Diego Chargers in 2004. Phillip Rivers was taken in the fourth spot, and then the trade was made. And both guys have gone on to have fantastic careers. And, you know, it's pretty interesting when you take a look at what they've been able to accomplish. They're really close in all-time yards, touchdown passes, completions, and everything else. When you look at win-win trades, this was kind of a win-win for both franchises.
You know, it really has been. But I think even if Phillip Rivers came to the Giants, I think he would have probably experienced the same success that he has experienced being a part of the Charger organization. With Eli, perhaps he might have helped them a little bit more, the Chargers. But as Carl talked about earlier in the show, or what you may have said, San Diego has gutted the teams over and over and over and has not had the talent base that should have been there. I think the Giants would probably has been a better fit for Eli Manning and Phillip Rivers. And quite frankly, as a Giant fan, I'm glad we got Eli as opposed to Rivers and two Super Bowls as opposed to none.
Well, yeah, and I think, again, it's all about the structure that you have around your franchise quarterback. Now, they'll say, well, he has a Hall of Fame tight end with him, but that wasn't a given either. The kid was a basketball player who turned into this. But, listen, both quarterbacks are great. Organizations run differently. The Giants have a way of doing things, and they have a track record of success in doing it that way. The Chargers, for whatever their methodology is, they have a really good quarterback, and he hasn't had the success that probably he deserves to have.
I think you're right on that, but I think the things you said that I pick up on is organization. I think coming to the Giants, the history of the Giants, the team, the families, the way that they run things in a way that it's kind of you're all in here together, I think that was the big difference.
Football family.
Yeah, the football family. And I'm not saying the Chargers are a bad organization. I'm just saying that the Giant organization, I hear players that come here from other teams talk about how great this is, and we all say once a Giant for life. That's how I feel that, you know, Eli, you know, had the advantage the entire time.
Yeah, I mean, Eli had the same head coach for 12 years in the same offense, and now on a second head coach. He's had two general managers since he's been here. Phillip Rivers has had to deal with a lot of coaching changes, a lot of general managers, and now a franchise that moved. I mean, you look at it, the three stud quarterbacks from that draft, Eli, Rivers, and Roethlisberger, all great players. Yeah. Roethlisberger and Manning went to stable organizations, and Rivers is now playing for an organization that plays in a soccer stadium.
Yeah, they can't be filled.
Right. So, look, I think it was a win-win. Both great players. Phillip Rivers has been fantastic. Eli hasn't beaten the Chargers. He's 0-3 against the Chargers. And, you know, it's interesting because in 05, when he went out there and played there in his first year as a full-time starter, they trolled him on the video boards. I mean, it was as hostile an environment you'll ever see. And he nearly led a great comeback. He threw for over 300 yards and had a great game. So we'll see what they do on Sunday. Harry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure they booed him quite a bit when he went out there. Let's hope that on Sunday they're not booing him at home.
They won't be booing Eli. We're out of time. For Harry Carson, Carl Banks, Howard Cross, and our entire crew, I'm Bob Papa. Enjoy the game on Sunday at 1, Giants and Chargers. You've been watching Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop here on the MSG Networks.